Well, good morning, everybody. Hope you guys are doing well. Happy Father's Day to you all who are dads out there. Hope you get to relax this afternoon in your lazy boy or whatever it is that you, however you relax. That's actually the sponsor of our message this morning, Lazy Boy. So anyways, if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Hey, I want to greet everyone watching online. It's so good to have you watching us this morning. We hope you're doing well, especially those of you who are Kernan members and attenders. We miss you and we love you, and we're looking forward to being with you again soon. So I do have a very exciting announcement today. We are going to move forward into phase two of our reopening plan. So currently we're in phase one. We're going to move into phase two on July 5th. So what that means is community groups may begin meeting again on campus. So we're asking every member of a community group to check with your leader, and they'll be reaching out to you, but check with your leader, double check with them on the time and location of your group meeting. So we're not saying that all groups have to meet. It's up to the group leader. It's up to the group, and really it's up to you still as an individual. So just like in phase one, we're asking individuals to make their own decision as to your own health and safety, what you feel comfortable doing, but we are excited that we're going to move on into phase two on July 5th, so I'm really excited about that. If you have any questions at all or concerns, you can call Jeremy Crawford, right? So, just kidding. you can call the office at any time during the week, and we would be happy to talk with you and work that out. So, Matthew chapter 28 is where we are this morning, verses 18 through 20. I want to read this and then pray for us, and we'll dig right in. So, Matthew is recording the last words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven, after he rose from the grave. And here's what Matthew says. He says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always.'" All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for being with us always. Lord, you've given us this great responsibility to make disciples. Yet you have not left us alone in this mission, in this endeavor. Jesus, you have promised that you are with us always to the end of the age. And so we're thankful, Lord, that you are with us. And we're thankful on this day we recognize, fathers, that Father, you have adopted us into your family. You've given us a seat at your table. You've given us an inheritance for eternity to spend with you, all because of what Jesus has done for us, dying in our place. And by faith in his name, Lord, you are our Father. We come before you and acknowledge that this morning, and we're thankful and so grateful. So would you help us to be attentive to your word and to the vision you have for our church as we look at that this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, have you ever, has anyone ever recommended a restaurant to you? And they really hype it up and they talk it up. It's like, man, you've got to go check out this place. It's so good. And then you get there and it's not that good really, right? You don't really understand the hype. Okay, anybody feel like that's the year 2020? Right, okay, yes. Who in the world knew there's going to be a pandemic? I mean, who knew we'd be in mid-June and there would be no sports, no baseball? Like, I'm missing it so bad. And here we are, right? Here we are. So, you know, we had high expectations for a new decade, the 20s. Yes, the roaring 20s. And we had high expectations as a church for our five-year vision that we launched a few months ago. But obviously, a few things in the world have changed, and so here we are. But I'm still excited, and so what we're going to do today, we're going to recap the vision series that we started before the pandemic started. And I think this is really good for us to just refresh and remind ourselves of who God wants us to be as a church over the next 5 years. Now, If you weren't here, and for those of you watching online at home right now, if you were not part of the Vision series back in February when we started that, if you weren't listening at the time, just want you to know, don't worry, you're not going to get left behind with anything. We're going to catch you up full speed today, and you'll be right on the same page with the rest of us. So that's what we're doing. We're looking at a recap of our Vision series from a few months ago, and really the goal of this vision that we're talking about is to answer this question: what kind of church does God want us to be by the year 2025? What kind of church does God want Kernan to be by the year 2025? Now, we're going with the transportation metaphor, so we're talking about vehicles and roads and all that good stuff, so I'll try to keep my cheesy jokes to a minimum, all right? I'll try to stay on the road, so to speak. But today we're going to cover the road, the lanes, and the destination, okay? So that's what we're looking at this morning, and so we're just going to dive right in and go into this. What kind of church does God want us to be over the next 5 years? Well, first of all, we need to talk about the road that we're actually on. We need to talk about, in other words, our beliefs. That's what we're calling the road. So there's several places in the book of Acts where the followers of Jesus were described as being part of the way, the capital W, way. And the Greek word that's used there in the New Testament for way is hodos, which means a road or a highway or a way of life. So I think it's vitally important for us as a church to know what road are we really on. In other words, what beliefs do we have? What are our beliefs about God and about the Bible and who we really are? Now, we don't have time to spell out every little detail, of course, today about what we believe as a church, but you've heard me preach these beliefs every Sunday, right? We preach about the gospel and we preach the Bible here at Kernan. So you've heard these beliefs now for a while. And if you want even more details, you can absolutely go on our website. We have our beliefs spelled out in more detail there. We can talk about them later. You can always call the office and schedule an appointment. But what I want you to know is that we here at Kernan, we have a certain set of beliefs about who God is, what the Bible says, and who we are in light of all of that. And it's nothing new, right? We didn't come up with these beliefs. This is nothing new. We affirm what the Bible has said for the last 2,000 years, the Orthodox Church, Orthodox Christianity, I mean, just, you know, the Christian beliefs of the gospel. That's what we affirm. So we also affirm as Baptists distinctively a document called the Baptist Faith and Message that was drafted in the year 2000. So we affirm that message here. But basically this morning, I want to summarize the big picture of what we believe here at Kernan and really see the road that we're on, okay? And then we'll talk about the lanes on the road and the destination. So basically, you can summarize our beliefs as this. We believe in the story of God. We believe in the grand story of God, that everything that's happened in human history up until this point, that's happening now, and that will happen, we believe that everything is part of God's master plan, His great story. And you can really break the story of God up into four parts, okay? And these are chronological. So creation, fall, redemption, and eternity. So creation, obviously, is when God created the universe. He created the world. And, you know, in Genesis 1, it says that God looked at this earth that He created after He created it, and He said, it was good. He said it was a great place. It was good because He's good and He creates only good things. So God gave us a planet, an earth to live on and to thrive on, right? He set the stage for us to thrive as humans and worship our Creator. But it didn't take long. In fact, only three chapters in to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, for the second part of this grand story to take place. And it was the tragic part, the fall. We call it the fall because the first humans fell. They fell away from being in good standing with their Creator God. They rebelled against Him. They decided that what He gave them was not good enough, and they idolized themselves and their comfort and their control, and so they wanted to reach for more. And so the Bible calls this act of rebellion against God sin, and it's something that we've all inherited, right? They represented mankind, Adam and Eve, when in the Garden of Eden, they represented all humans, and us as their descendants, all of us, we have inherited this sinful problem where we are now separated from our Creator because of our own actions, because of our own sinfulness, right? We're all guilty of that. But there's good news. The third part of this grand story of God we call redemption, because the hero of this great story enters into the picture right here. God himself came to earth as a human, Jesus Christ, and he died the death penalty that really we should have died for rebelling against our Creator. Jesus died in our place as our substitute. And he rose from the grave to prove and to give God the Father the approval that he has power over sin and death. And so by faith in him and what he's done for us, instead of faith in ourselves and our own good morals and our own good behavior, if we trust in Jesus instead of trusting ourselves to be in good standing before God, then we are redeemed by that work of salvation that he accomplished for us. That's the great news of this story. That's the good news. But there's a fourth part to this story that we are not to yet, right? So the redemption has been secured by Jesus dying on the cross and raising from the grave. But now, here we are in this period of human history where, okay, Christ has come to earth and he's ascended into heaven and he rules in heaven, and eternity is still somewhere off in the future. But what about the here and now? What are we supposed to do right now? Well, you can summarize the gospel by looking at John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." So not eternal death, but eternal life. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." So after Jesus rose from the grave, but before he ascended into heaven, he gave his followers instructions about how this becomes true for them. He gave us a mission to continue this thing that he started, this redemptive mission. And we read that earlier in Matthew 28 before I prayed. We call this the Great Commission. Jesus commissioned us as his disciples to go and make more of his disciples. So that's what we're doing. In this time period between parts 3 and 4, between redemption and eternity, it's now the church age, we call it. It is time for the church to continue the mission of God until Jesus returns. So until this age is over, until Jesus returns, this is our mission as a church: to glorify God by making disciples. The Great Commission. And so we, as the body of Christ, as the local church, this is the road that we're on. That's the road we're on. This is the way, this is the path that we're on as followers of Jesus. It's the story of God. That's what we believe. It's the way of Christ. So at this point, we at least know from the Great Commission that the church is called to glorify God by making disciples. But what I want us to look at now is how do disciples do that? Like, how do we glorify God? How do we make more disciples? Well, throughout the New Testament, we see the answer to this question, and that's what we're calling in our metaphor for this vision, the lanes. The lanes on the road. So basically what we're saying is there are three essential lanes or purposes of every church. The gospel of Jesus compels us to do three things, or creates three purposes or lanes on this road, this great story of God that we're on. These lanes are the three essential purposes of any church, of God's people, right? And it's not just true for Kernan, is true for any gospel-believing, Jesus-centered church. So every church in the world that believes the Bible and preaches Jesus and his gospel should be doing at least these three things, all right? So number one is this. We are called to worship. The church of Jesus is called to worship him. Well, how do we do that? Okay, so when we dwell on what Christ has done for us, the gospel we call it, that should create in us an overwhelming sense of gratitude, an overwhelming sense of joy that does what? Compels us to worship God. Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29 says, this describes this so perfectly. It says, therefore, let us be grateful. Grateful for what? Receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. So that's what the gospel does. It generates this heart of gratitude and joy in us that compels us to say, God, you are great, to praise his name, to worship him. So that's the first purpose of any church, is to worship God out of that heartfelt gratitude. But the second purpose is to walk with the Lord, to follow Jesus in his way of life. So as we dwell on the gospel in our lives, as we worship him, we should also want to love him, right? More and more. We should want our love for Jesus to grow. We should want to grow closer and closer to him. We should have a desire to be more like him and walk closely with him. You know, the word walk in the New Testament is used many times to describe our, what we call sanctification. And that word just simply means that we become more like Jesus over time, that faith is, that you grow in your faith. It's a progress or a process, right? And you should be making progress as time goes on. So Romans 6:4 talks about this. Paul said, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk, there's that word, right? Walk in newness of life, a new life, right? Jesus, when you come to Christ and you trust him to be your Lord and Savior, he gives you a new mindset, a new perspective, a new heart, a new life. And so your walk, your daily walk, your daily way of life becomes very different now. You're not following the world, you're following Jesus and his ways. So that's the second purpose of the church. We should be walking and growing in our faith as time goes on. But the third and final purpose of any church, the third lane on this road of God's story, is that we are called to be witnesses for the Lord. Witness. So Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. So that was their local city. And in all Judea and Samaria, that was their region that they lived in. And where? To the end of the earth. Everywhere. Like Jesus said in Matthew 28, to the ends of the earth. Make disciples of all nations. You see, the gospel should create in us a burden to share the good news of Jesus with everybody that we come in contact with. We talked about this last week in our sermon, our last sermon on Philippians. Having a gospel impact in the circle of influence that Jesus has put you in to live in. It is our responsibility to continue what Jesus started, right? To give the hope of the good news of Christ to all people. We are truly his witnesses. We are his ambassadors. So those are the three purposes of any church anywhere in the world. Any church that says they believe the Bible and they believe Jesus and they believe that he is the Son of God and has died for them and rose from the grave for them, they should be worshiping, walking, and witnessing. But these three lanes We have to look at them even more closely. Now the question becomes, okay, so what kind of church do we need to become? In other words, how do we faithfully walk, worship, walk, and witness here at Kernan, in Jacksonville, in the year 2020 and beyond? So that's what we're asking in this vision. And that's really the destination that we're heading towards, right? So if you get in a car with somebody, you want to know, hey, where are we going, right? Just last night, we were hanging out with my in-laws, and me, Christy, and the kids, and we were following them to a park that we're going to play at. And, you know, they were taking some weird turns. And I know they don't like to use GPS, and I'm thinking, I don't think they know where they're going. But we had a GPS, so I was okay, right? We want to know the destination, and we want to know how to get there. Well, that's what this vision's all about. What kind of church does God want us to be as we fulfill these three purposes? What should be the defining characteristic of each of these three lanes for us by the year 2025? Well, let's start with worship. How should we worship here at Kernan? Well, I believe that God is calling us to worship with authenticity. To worship with authenticity. We want genuine, heartfelt worship to be what defines our worship here at Kernan. One thing that Jesus made very clear was that he was not okay with hypocritical, cold, empty, religious worship. He wants worship to be genuine, authentic, real, in your heart. Listen to what Jesus said to the Pharisees, the religious group that tried to control everything, in Mark chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. He said, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me," he says, "teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And then when Jesus was speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4, listen to what he says. He says, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So our worship to the Lord should be heartfelt and genuine in spirit, but it is based on the truth of God's word. That's why I love Hebrews 12, 28. I think it just summarizes this, what we're trying to say here, so perfectly. The author of Hebrews says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken." Just think about that. You belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Think how many things have been shaken by the coronavirus around our world, and just the way of life has been so rattled. But our kingdom cannot be shaken. And thus, he says, let us offer to God acceptable worship. And he clarifies what that looks like. It's a type of worship that's authentic, right? It's with reverence and awe. So keep in mind that, you know, worship includes more than just singing and music. Now, that's a huge part of it, absolutely. And that's a big part of it. But worship also includes how we pray. How we pray to God and talk to him as individuals and as a church. It includes the preaching of God's word. Worship includes partaking in the Lord's Supper, which I'm excited to tell you, actually, we're going to do that next week. We're gonna take the Lord's Supper here next week, and I don't want you to be worried. We've already thought through the sanitation part of it. We're not going to pass out the juice and the crackers like we normally do. We're going to actually have these little prepackaged juice and cracker thing that you're going to just take right off a table that'll be right here in the worship center. You can just pick one up, so nobody else is going to touch your food, all right? We're not even going to breathe on it, so you'll be good. So we're going to do that next week. I'm excited about that. But the Lord's Supper, that's an act of worship. Baptism, when we baptize somebody, that's an act of worship. Giving financially to support the mission of God, that's an act of worship. See, all these things are forms of worshiping our Creator with authenticity from a heartfelt gratitude. So by 2025, What we're saying is we want Kernan to be a place where we do these things, but we don't just do these things for the sake of doing them so that we can check them off our little to-do list. No, we do these things because we are driven by our gratefulness in our hearts for who Jesus is. We want to worship him with authenticity in these ways. So we want to make disciples who do just that over these next 5 years. But not only that, we want to think about how we walk with the Lord. And we believe that God is calling us as a church to walk in community. That's the clarifying statement here. We want to walk in community. And we want to do that because you know what? Discipleship, sanctification, becoming more like Jesus, that's really a team sport. Listen, I love golf, but golf is on your own, right? You're out there playing by yourself. It's just you versus the course, you versus the weather. But discipleship is not like that. It's a team sport. So this like lone ranger kind of Christianity, you know, so many people like to privatize their spiritual lives, and you think, well, I mean, what I do is between me and God and nobody else. And I'll say, well, okay, that's true unless you're a member of a church. Because then you're the member of a, you're a member of the body of Christ, and the body works together, all together, to glorify the Lord, together. It's so difficult, especially in the secularization of the world today, it is so difficult to live for the Lord when you're trying to do it alone. God did not create us. God did not create us to live for him on our own. He created us to desire and crave community, to do this together. And look, if you don't believe me, then believe the word of God itself. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said this, he says this so well in these verses 11 through 16, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Just listen to the togetherness and how it's so essential that we not just try to walk with the Lord on our own, doing our own little devotion from time to time, but not really studying the Bible with others. No. We're supposed to do this together. Listen to what he says. Verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ refers to the church. That's a metaphor for the church, right? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to what? Mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's our standard. So we're all growing together and maturing in our faith to the standard of Jesus, verse 14, so that we may no longer be children or immature in our faith, tossed to and fro by the ways and carried around by about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. No. Paul says, verse 15, rather speaking the truth to one another, right? Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. We're to grow up. Not by ourselves, though, together. Grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And here's the togetherness part, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What a beautiful description of the body of Christ, the church, and the togetherness that God has designed, the community that God has designed for us. This is how we grow together, by pursuing Jesus and his word together, by learning about the Bible together, by serving on mission together, by just doing life together. We want to be a church over the next 5 years where this is the norm, where we walk in community. Thirdly, we want to witness as we're commanded to do, as every church is, but here at Kernan, we want to witness as we go. You can't witness in the world if your mentality is to come and sit or come and stay. No, we want to see that God is good, and then we want to go and tell others that He is good. The command from Jesus is to go and make disciples in Matthew 28. And in Acts 1:8 that we read earlier, Jesus talked about the progression of the mission. Remember, He said it's going to start in Jerusalem, right? So He's speaking to His disciples, and it's starting there in their city, right? And that's the same thing for us. It's going to start in our city in Jacksonville. It's going to start here, and it expands out from here in terms of our responsibility in living out this mission. So we are called to be witnesses of Jesus and His gospel as we go out into the world, as we live our lives in every circle of influence God has placed us. We are His representatives. And that starts really in our own homes, right? I mean, that we need to represent Christ and be His ambassador in our own homes, to our own family members, but then it extends from there, right? It extends into the grocery store. It extends to our kids' ball games. It extends into the workplace. Wherever we live our lives, we want to witness as we go. So by 2025, we just want the culture here, we want that to be second nature. Not that we have to think even too much about it, but that's just who we are. Man, we just witness for the Lord. And we bring others to Jesus. Not just to Kernan, but to Jesus. And if they choose Kernan to be their home church, that's great. But that's not the end goal. The end goal is to bring them to the kingdom, to the family of God. So the gospel just keeps multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. That's the plan, that's the design God has given in this mission. So when you put all this together, when you put the three purposes of the church that we get straight out of the New Testament, the three lanes of this grand story of God, but then you start thinking about what that needs to look like here in our context, we truly believe that God is leading us to be a church that exists to glorify God by making disciples who worship with authenticity, walk in community, and witness as we go. And so we're declaring that as our new vision statement here at this church for the next 5 years. Listen, I said this several months ago, and I look back and just kind of laugh now, but we said a few months ago, we have no idea what the future holds. Well, little did we know, right? But that's still true. Because this world can be shaken. It can be shaken very quickly. But as we read today in Scripture, we belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So we believe that God has given us this vision to pursue together as His body, as His family, over the next 5 years. And so my desire and my challenge to you, I just want to ask you to commit to this vision, to commit to Kernan, to commit to this body of Christ. Man, let's do this, but let's not do this alone or separately or scattered around. Let's be unified together, and let's pursue this together. Let's worship, walk, and witness together. Would you commit to praying? Would you commit to praying about who God wants us to be over the next 5 years? Next week, we're going to look at the details of how we're going to get to the destination, right? So not only do we want to get in the right car and be on the right road and have the right map, we want to know how to get there. So next week, we're going to talk about the details and the ministries, the vehicles, we call them, of how we're actually going to get to 2025 and becoming this kind of church. So I'm excited to share that with you next week. Please come back. There'll be a lot more interesting and fun details to talk about next week. But I hope this is encouraging, because what a great God we serve to give us His love and His Son dying in our place, raising from the grave, giving us salvation. And now, with a heart of gratitude, we worship, we walk, and we witness in these ways. So if you would stand with us. Kyle's going to lead us in a closing song. I just want to remind you before he does that, and I'm going to pray for us, just remind you, July 5th, phase two begins. The plan, the tentative plan as of now, is to still have a 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock service, but please check with your community group leader. Check with your community group leader about the specific time that your group is going to meet, okay? We're just letting each group kind of make that decision and communicate that decision. We're talking that out with them currently. So, but meet with your leader, and then you'll know exactly where you need to be. But I also want to remind you, unfortunately, we're not going to have kids' activities or childcare until phase three, which we have not set a date for just yet. But we're very hopeful for the future, and we're excited about that, okay? All right, well, let me pray for us, and Kyle's going to dismiss us in song. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for loving us the way you have, God, giving your life for ours. God, we are so thankful and grateful for who you are and how you love us. God, let us be compelled to worship you with authenticity, Lord. Let us desire to grow in our faith and walk in community together as we pursue you and our love for you, Lord. And let us witness as we go out into this world, as we leave this place. Jesus, would you make us this kind of church? Would you shape us and mold us into this kind of body, your body, to represent you so well and faithfully, Lord, in this world, in Jacksonville and beyond over the next 5 years? Would you show us how to do that and lead us every step of the way, Lord? We depend completely, wholly on you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for this day. Thank you for being Father God. Thank you for being our Father on this Father's Day. May we feel so loved and accepted by who you are and your approval of us through your Son, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.